Rico Tice is a guy who's a friend of mine and of others of us here. And quite a lot of us have seen him on a television screen because he's the guy who does the Christianity Explored course. Rico is telling a story about how he was invited to dine at a very exclusive London club. Not the sort of thing he often does, he says, but a father and son whom he knew belonged to this club, and they said, Rico, you must come and dine with us. So he put on his best clothes, got there a little bit early, went in and waited on the stairs, and there was another guy waiting on the stairs next to him. Rico thought to himself, I'd seen that guy before somewhere, but, you know, being English, they sort of looked and smiled at each other and looked down at the floor. And they were like that for about 5 minutes. And then another door opened and a third man came in. And the third man said to the second man, William, so sorry to keep you. We're dining in the back room. Do come through. And Rico realized this was Prince William. He'd been standing next to Prince William for 5 minutes. He could have had the conversation of a lifetime. And he didn't recognize him for who he was. Prince William, let alone recognize him as his future king. And the same could be said to be true of Jesus, because he is king in God's world, but many, many people don't recognize him as such. Now, there's nothing new in that, because back in Jerusalem, all those years ago when Jesus was there in the flesh, as it were, they didn't recognize him then as king in God's world. And that, of course, is why they ended up killing him. They nailed him to a cross, and they hung him up, and they left him to die in the heat of the sun. Then they went home on that first Good Friday. And you'd think that was the end of the story, wouldn't you? I mean, when you're dead, you're dead. It's fairly normal. People don't pop out of graves. It'd actually be rather disturbing if they did. They went home and thoughts, right, job done, clear up, feet up, forget about it, and move on to the next thing. But how wrong they were. Because on that first Easter morning, God raised Jesus bodily from the dead. He reversed their verdict. They'd all said guilty. And God said, no, he raised him from the dead. And as he did so, God said to the whole world, this is my son, and I have crowned him today as king for all time. And that is headline news for the world. It was then, and it is today. But people react to that news differently. Some people are puzzled by it. Some people object to it. So I don't think I like that very much, and I want to be king. And some people just ignore it and press on and carry on as if nothing had happened. And all of that is sad. In fact, it's foolish, because it ignores God's headline news. And the wise person hearing this news says, well, if that is really true, if God raised Jesus from the dead, and if he really has been made king in God's world, what am I meant to do? And that's a very good question to ask. And the Bible's answer is very clear. And in fact, we had it in that psalm that Mark read to us just now. And in the language of that psalm, the answer is, to the question, what am I meant to do? The answer is, I am meant to kiss the feet of Jesus. That's what the psalm says. Kiss the feet of Jesus. You know, that's not a strange thing to do. Kiss the feet of him. Come on. Anyone like to kiss my feet? I mean, Stephen. Yeah, marvelous. How wonderful. I felt you'd been a bit underused. Now, my feet, would you like to demonstrate how one kisses feet? You don't actually have to. I'll leave the shoes on, but, okay. Now, you'll notice that he couldn't do that without bowing down. You couldn't kiss my feet from up there. You had to bow down. And to kiss the feet of Jesus just means to bow down to him, to recognize him as king and as savior and as Lord. You may get up now, but don't go away. It means recognizing Jesus as king and savior and Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, please would you find just a small corner of your kingdom for me so that I can be there too. And the amazing thing is, a very wonderful thing happens when we do that. What we discover is that if we bow down and kiss Jesus' feet, we find that he bows down and doesn't kiss ours, but he washes them. Not literally, of course, but he did literally on the night before he was betrayed. You may remember that part of the gospel story. Jesus was having supper with his friends for the last time, his disciples. And then in the middle of the meal, he got up and he took a towel and he started washing their dirty, smelly, dusty Middle Eastern feet. And that's what he did to his disciples. And you'll notice that he couldn't do that without bowing down and going very low. And it was a kind of visual aid. Thank you, Stephen. It was a kind of visual aid to what he would accomplish the very next day when he laid down his life on the cross. Laying down his life for us so that we could be completely clean from all our sin. That's why Jesus died on the cross. So this is a king with a difference. He says, God says, he is my king. You need to kiss his feet. But amazingly, when we do that, we find that he has already washed ours. And not our feet only, but the whole person, so that we can be clean and made new. And not only do we then have clean feet and clean inner everything, the Bible says that then actually God gives us beautiful feet. Because beautiful feet are feet which go places and bring the same news of Jesus as God's King and of the wonderful things that he offers to those who put their trust in him. Dirty feet, clean feet, beautiful feet, and all because Jesus on the cross laid down his life to wash ours.